Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue in our study of the future of Islam. This is our critique to the question and answer session, which was offered in the end of Professor John Esposito's lecture by the title, The Future of Islam at the University of Kentucky. As we have heard in our last broadcast, the first question was given by the moderator concerning ISIS. And once again, here is the question of the moderator.
The question is that we have to admit that ISIS and radical Salafi jihadism, or whatever you want to call it, this extremism, is a problem in the Muslim world.
Yes.
How do you understand that problem? And the big question is, what should our policy be? What would be your advice to how to...
Of course, Professor Esposito cut him off to answer the question before he even finished his question. I believe he was going to say how to deal with ISIS. And here is the first portion of the answer of Professor Esposito, which we covered in the end of our last broadcast.
Well, the difficulty we have with ISIS, I mean, first of all, when you have deep grievances, and by grievances, it's not just, I don't like this. It's based on reality. That is, when you have situations where tens or hundreds of thousands of people wind up being killed, when you have drones that not only take out terrorists, but wind up killing far more civilians, wedding parties, when you have a policy that at one point was stated as, how did it go? If you were looking down and you were looking at somebody between the age of, like, was it 15 and 40 or 45, if they were young people, you could presume that they might be terrorists in terms of a drone attack. You have people that then have grievances, but you also have people who come along and exploit.
So before we move on to the rest of the answer of Professor Esposito, as I said to you in our last broadcast, let me repeat quickly here that we have a problem in the Muslim world, and the problem is America. We are the problem because we are the ones who brought the deep grievances to the Muslim people. Not only we killed 10,000, but he said even 100,000 of people who were killed by drones. I'm sorry, I don't think Obama killed even 10,000 in his 8 years when he used the drones. We did not kill 100,000 like he's telling us here. And look at these. These are not terrorists. These are civilians. Mr. Obama used drones and he killed 100,000 civilians. It's a joke. This is not just a lie. It's a comedy. And what kind of innocent people were we killing? We were killing those who were in weddings and parties. It's like we're looking for who's going to get married and where's going to have the party so we can bomb the daylight out of them. And what is our policies? If they're between the age of 15 to 45, most likely they are terrorists. Bomb the daylight out of them. Now, I do not know where is the Homeland Security. I do not know where is the FBI and CIA to look at a man like Professor John Esposito spreading these lies among the Muslim students and Muslim artists in America to tell them that we are the terrorists. We were killing innocent civilians, people in weddings, just because they're between the age of 15 to 45. These lies need to be stopped. Victimizing the Muslim world does not help us nor the Muslim world. First of all, Obama did not kill 100,000 civilian Muslims in the Muslim world in his 8 years. And Bush did not use the drones like Mr. Obama did. So I don't know where he come up with these numbers. But the second thing is, these grievances were started by the Muslims who've been killing Muslims for the last 1,400 years. Not because some infidels, Americans or others, killed Muslim terrorists. Professor Esposito see us as the problem. We are the reason for why we have the grievances and the problem in the Middle East. And because of us, some people come along and exploit other Muslim people in the Middle East. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we ended with ISIS. And I don't know where Mr. Esposito came up with this knowledge or what he was smoking and drinking before he gave this lecture, because it is nothing but lies, and he should be punished for such lies which he is teaching to the Muslim world. He's giving them the excuse why they should be terrorists, because we are the reason. And terrorism has nothing to do with the ideology of Islam. Now, let us listen to the rest of his hogwash answer for the question concerning ISIS.
And in all religions, you do have religious extremists or fanatics. But where there are conditions, they can exploit those conditions. And I think that that's precisely, you know, what we're saying.
And once again, my friends, we have to stop Mr. Esposito from continuing to lie to us by telling us that all religions have extremists or radicals or fundamentals. Yes, indeed, we have extreme Christians, radical Christians, and fundamental Christians, those who follow the teaching of the Bible. So when Muslims go through crisis, that is, when Muslims go in war against other Muslims, or earthquakes, or tornadoes, any type of disasters or crisis, we rush with the help, if it is food, medicine, or whatever they need, in our airplanes, in our ships. That is how Christian extreme radical fundamental practice their beliefs. So it is in Islam. The extreme and radical and fundamental are the one who practice the killing, the beheading, the terrorization of others whom they disagree with, if it is for religious reason or political reason. That is a huge difference, sir, between the fundamental extreme and radical Christians and the fundamental extreme and radical Muslims. But when you hear Professor Esposito making this generalization in his talk, you may think that extreme Muslims are like extreme Christians. Go back to the book, sir. See why you're calling them extreme. Is it because they're so loving to the point to love their enemy, praying for those who persecute them and blessing those who curse them? That is in the case of the extreme Christians. Or because they are beheading the infidel men and raping women and daughters because they follow the teaching of the Quran? Once again, nothing wrong about the words radical, extreme, or fundamental if they are practiced in the teaching of the Holy Bible in the New Testament. But if they are practiced in the teaching of Allah's words in the Quran and the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith, then we have a big problem. Generalization in your talk will not help you, especially when we find somebody like me to expose your hogwash propaganda. Let's continue with ISIS. As Professor Esposito said,
a group like ISIS will come along and say, look, we've got all these SOBs who are rulers. They're all authoritarian, okay? Therefore, they're not, and then they can pull in the religion thing and say, therefore, they're not good Muslims, they're not legitimate. Who supports them? You know, in the past, it's Western governments providing them with aid, selling them weapons, training. You know, I mean Europeans and Americans have trained police, military, you know, for other countries. And where are we? They'll continue to support, you know, quote, our people are repressed. Then when there is a moment of liberation, then it gets crushed again, and the military comes back into power, as it were, in Egypt. And so what you wind up then is taking advantage of that. And also saying, you see, democracy doesn't work, because you can't do it, because our governments are security states, which means that they have strong militaries, strong police, strong security services. So you can't rise up easily. And then if you do, you know, you have to worry about the fact that you're not going to be supported by outside powers.
Well, Professor Esposito summarized to us the problem of the Middle East. Why? Because these countries are running by dictators, as we mentioned in our study earlier. And because our countries are strong, we're talking about the Muslim world now, like Egypt or Syria or Iraq. Our countries are strong because who supported them? The foreigners. Which foreigners? The infidels. Which infidels? The Americans and the Europeans. How we supported them? It is very simple. We, the Americans, train their police and their military, and we give them weapons. Therefore, these Muslims are struggling And when these Muslims have a revolution and these Muslims try to rise up against their government, well, guess what? The Americans and the Europeans will not support them. They will not aid them because we are going to call them extremists and we're going to call them radicals. We're going to call them the terrorists. So it's a problem. The governments of the Muslim world are run by dictators. And these dictators receive their power, that is the financial help and the training and the weapon for their police and for their militaries. All that goes against the Muslims who are trying to have democracy in their country, and they cannot have it because, after all, we are not going to support them. So what are they going to do? They're victims. They're victims of their governments, and they're victims of the infidels of America and others who support and strengthen their dictator governments.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
So now we know the problem is not the Muslim jihadi of the Middle East, but the problem is their government. And the problem is not in their government. The problem actually is in the foreign aid from the infidel Americans. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem with ISIS. Have we left the Middle East alone, not go to war, not kill their innocent civilians? Maybe we'll have a peaceful, loving Muslim in the Muslim world. That is the mentality of Professor Esposito. And to prove my point, listen carefully to what else he's going to tell us.
I ran right after the Arab Awakening. We ran a conference in Istanbul. And the two things that people said, we brought a lot of young people from the different countries, as well as people who were, you know, participating within the uprising. The two things they were concerned about were, number one, what they call the deep state. In other words, how are you going to change? As one of them said, they said, you know, when the French Revolution occurred, all the bad guys are rounded up and they're guillotined. 40,000 people were beheaded post the French Revolution. You're talking about beheading, okay? In other words, you know, the bad guys get rounded. They said, in our case, we've driven out rulers, but the bureaucracy, the main economic players, the military, the courts, are all people who've been, you know, supplied by the other side. So they worry about the deep state.
Don't you love it to talk to expert like Professor Esposito, the man who is involved in the Middle East and he knows his work from real reality, work with his hand, not just read a book about it or wrote a book about it? He was in Iran in many of the conferences after the Arab Awakening. And he's telling us that from his experience and from his statistics, he knows that there are two important things which causes the conflict in the Middle East. The first one he calls the deep state. And that is the challenge which the Muslims in the Middle East are facing. The reason they could not have democracy, the reason they could not have their freedom is because of the deep state. It is something we are very familiar with in these days in America. The deep state in Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what the American wants. It is who are there in the swamp and who will make the decision for us, like it or not. the deep state. Then Professor Esposito quoted one of these people who spoke in these conferences, giving the example about how the revolution took place in France, that they beheaded 40,000 of their people. Oh, and he said, what? He said, you're talking about beheading, okay? What is he aiming at? It is like he's trying to tell us that it's not just Muslim people behead, even the French behead. So it's okay for the Muslim to practice beheading in the revolution, as it was okay for the French in France to behead 40,000 of their people. But here's the difference, Professor Esposito. You are once again comparing tomato to potato. Because Allah in the Quran said behead, but there is not a verse in the Bible given by Jesus for the French, if you want to call them Christians, to call for beheading. If you want to compare what the Muslims are doing concerning beheading, you need to compare it to what the New Testament, the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, teaches about beheading. Because Allah and Muhammad said behead, and the Muslim did obey Allah and Muhammad, noble example. And they still until today practice the beheading. But when the French beheaded the 40,000 bad guys, they were not practicing the teaching of the New Testament. But then Professor Esposito said, in other words, the bad guys got grounded. They said, in our case, we're giving out rules for bureaucracy. The main economic players, the military, the courts are all people, you know, supplied by the other side. So they worry about the deep state. That is the first thing. The first problem the revolutionists in the Muslim world are facing to bring democracy to their country. What about the second thing? Listen carefully to Professor Esposito.
And then the other thing was, how about the West? Will the West accept, or will they actually support a counter coup? And so I think an effort like ISIS works off that.
The second problem Professor Esposito is telling us here is us, the West. Are we going to support the new generation in the Muslim world who would love democracy and freedom? Those who are fighting against their deep state? Or we're not going to help them? As we see about the coup, and he mentioned Egypt many times in the past, and I shared with you. And by the way, this is coming again. Another question. Where we are going to be hearing Professor Esposito insisting that what took place in the days of Mohamed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt, who was put in power by Mr. Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton, Professor Esposito will insist that this was a coup. No, it was not a coup, sir. When you have over 40 million Egyptians for weeks demanding that Mr. Morsi resign his office as the president of Egypt, that's not a coup. Once again, a coup is taking place by military or a police, a small number of people, and it has to be sudden, not millions, and not for weeks, to fulfill the request that he'll be removed from office. But anyway, so these are the two things. First, the deep state of the Muslim world. Second, how the West will react to the Muslim revolution in the Middle East. Let me remind you now, something which Professor Esposito will not talk about, because Mr. Obama is the one who brought the chaos to Egypt and Libya and Iraq, and he was hoping to do the same thing as well in Syria. But when there were true revolution, ladies and gentlemen, that is when the people of Iran spoke out loud clearly that this is the revolution, and they were the first to start what we call the Arab Spring, or the freedom fighters all over the Muslim world, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama chose not to help them, chose to turn his back against Iran, even though the military of Iran were slaughtering the freedom fighters, the youth of Iran, who want to bring democracy and freedom to the country of Iran. For days and weeks and months, the government of Iran were slaughtering the people of Iran who were fighting for their freedom, and Mr. Barack Hussein Obama chose not to help. And we were not surprised in the end of the story, because Mr. Barack Hussein Obama helped the regime in Iran, giving them not $10 or $20 billion, but $152 billion. Don't forget, the aeroplanes were loaded with cash. $2 billion cash overnight were sent to the country of Iran under one condition. They will not continue to make uranium-238 to be used for making nuclear bombs for 10 long years. That shows you, my friends, the true agenda of liberal Democrats concerning the country of Iran, concerning the revolution of the true freedom fighters of the country of Iran, and the true agenda of Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, first Muslim president, to help Iran to gain power. And we're still suffering today as it was in the days of Obama. Sadly, now we got a new president who will continue with Obama's agenda as if Mr. Obama is back in the White House. And trust me, the end will be much worse than it used to be in the end of Mr. Obama's days. I don't think Joe Biden will do anything but to please the mullah, the leaders of Iran. He will not stand up with any freedom fighter. It's over. These days are over. And when you hear Professor John Esposito speaking about Bush and speaking about the West in a very negative way, you understand it, because he, like all liberals, have one agenda, and that agenda is appease the Muslims, help the Muslims. Which ones? The ones with the grievances. Why? Because we are the ones who brought the sorrow and the pain to their life. And if we do not appease these Muslims, we'll continue to have problem with them. So let the Muslim terrorists control their countries. So let us take our nose out of their business and let them control their countries. And then America will have a peaceful relationship with the rest of the Muslim world, which, by the way, is the opposite of what is coming towards us from the same Muslims whom the liberals love and rush to help. And to continue our study of the future of Islam, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.